2008 seminar program, lecture 15. Stem cells invite us to reveal our original purity and integrity. Love is the power of self-healing and self-sponsoring stem cell work in the mind and body. Ways we can apply these issues in our daily life. And it is so. So, interesting, huh? Very good. Stem cells invite us to reveal our original purity and integrity. How does a stem cell invite us to reveal our original purity and integrity? How does a stem cell put out an invitation to experience our original purity and integrity? Any idea?
When they ask us what they want us to do for you.
Exactly. That's the invitation. The stem cell says, what do you want me to do? What is your command? What would you command me to do? How would you like me to affect myself in your world and in your life? What would you like me to do? And so then, what do? We tell the stem cell what it is that we want the stem cell to do, and it does it. Now, you may not be aware of this, but that's been happening all the time, all of your life. Every time you had a request for finding out something and anything at all, something told you the answer. And you thought it was God, you thought it was the divine, you thought it was perhaps your father or mother or neighbor or friend or somebody who was giving you the information, but it really was your stem cell. Your stem cell made all things available to you and did it in such interesting ways that you never gave it a thought. You thought, well, I would like to study medicine, or I'd like to study pharmacy, I'd like to study anything at all. And the moment you said, I'd like to study, your stem cell said, okay, we will associate with you with people who are in that field. You now will begin talking with people in that field. People who are in that field will come and share things with you. Just accidentally, you meet somebody where you had never expected to meet somebody. You might be at the store and you're just looking at a pair of socks and you say to someone, my goodness, you know, what would a doctor wear? Or what? How would that work? And the fellow says, oh, you want to become a doctor? And you say, I hadn't thought of that, but yes, it'd be nice to become a doctor. Well, and then you strike up a conversation and you start talking about it, and here he is, the head of some psychiatric or hospital organization, and he says, well, come down and see me when you finish your degree. But that's 4 years away. That's okay. I'll be there. He said, I find people like this all the time. Whenever I'm walking anywhere and people have an interest in anything, they seem to bring it up in my attention, and I talk to them for a few minutes. And people who really are the right people are the ones who talk to me. And this has been my experience, he says. Now, you say, well, that's just a made-up story. No, that's what happens all the time. All the time. If your interest is in something, you will have yourself surrounded by people who are interested in talking about just that thing to you.
That's yes? That's what happened to Ugo.
Ugo?
Yes.
Yes.
When he was wanting to do psychiatry, then we bumped into Esther, and his brother was the head of psychiatry. And he said, if that is what you want, I'll connect him. Yep. And instantly, Ugo connected, and then he started the course.
Amazing, isn't it? How something so strange and diverse could tie itself right down, and here's the family, right in the family. And you had never thought of mentioning it to the family, except that when you did mention it, there it is. Everything fell into place. And what happened when he was in London?
That's in London.
I say, what else happened when he was in London? What else happened when he was in London?
Well, he got to do his internship in psychiatry and did other courses and got it, and then he got a job.
Sure. He wanted to go into psychiatry.
Yes.
And he studied psychiatry seriously. And no time at all, right to the top of the class and out. And then he wanted to work in a clinic where he'd be a top doctor. Not just one of 50 doctors in a clinic, you know. He wanted to be one of the top doctors. So he worked, and he found a job in a clinic where he is number two. Number two doctor. Pretty good, huh? You say, well, yeah. And then I say, remember this. Number two is what he asked for. He didn't say he wanted to be number one, nor did he say that he wanted to be in the greatest clinic in the world. So, the clinic has two doctors and he's number two. Now, that's not strange, but it's what he asked for. It's what cause he put in motion. Now, what cause do you put in motion for yourself? I'm sure if you stopped and thought about it, you could tell me lots of illustrations where you've done something similar to this, where you have put the cause in motion and brought it about in a beautiful, wonderful way. Stem cells are at work doing this. You think that it's not stem cells. You think it's just coincidence. You think it's just circumstances and stuff like that. But it's stem cells. They are sort of working over your life and handling it in any way that you want it. People come to me, they say, Dr. Barley, I want you to help me. I say, okay. What do you want me to work with you on? Well, I want you to help me. I said, that's fine. Well, what do you want me to work with you on? Well, I got a problem. Well, what's your problem? I don't know. I said, well, how can I help you if I don't know what you want me to work on? He said, well, because I understand that you can do that. I said, all right. You are whole and perfect. You know? And he says, oh, thank you. That's all he wanted to hear and know, that he was whole and perfect, and he was done. He didn't have to bring out all the list of problems that he'd had, all the worries that he'd had, and what happened? He went, oh, and he was whole and perfect. Now, did I heal him? Or did he just finally find the statement that meant something to him, that he could say to himself and heal himself?
Yes.
This is what we do. This is exactly what we do. This is the way the principle works. Shoma, their daughter, she loves schooling and mathematics. She loves banks. She loves money, just like Grace here. And so she says, I want to work at a bank. I want to work at a bank. So she prepared herself to work in a bank, and she was very good. And she could do anything the bank called of her. But it bored her to tears because it was routine. Routine, day after day, the same, the same, the same. And she didn't like that. She wanted to work with something that was stimulating and something that was lifting her heart up and making her just jump for joy. And you know what she chose to do? I mean, of all the things in the world that she'd choose to do, she chose to go into mathematics. Now, if there's nothing more boring than mathematics, I can't imagine it. But to her, mathematics is like reading a good detective mystery. Mathematics is exciting. It has adventure in it. It has imagination in it. It does. And so what did she do? She went to the top of her class, and now she's teaching mathematics. Just the way she wanted to. Now, what's going to be her next choice? Her next choice is that she's going to work for Bill Gates and count his money for him. Wouldn't that be interesting? And she'll have to figure out new techniques for counting it, because counting billions of dollars takes quite something. But again, it's all on paper, so it's not too bad. But why not? Why not? Why not have her on Bill Gates' staff of keeping track of his money? He has people keeping track of it, you can be sure. You know, as he isn't. How? He couldn't. He would have time for nothing else. He has maybe about 150 people who are taking care of those details. 150 people taking care of $52 billion. Interesting, huh? Many industries don't even make $52 billion, and they have thousands of employees. But you see, when you put a cause in motion, the stem cells bring about whatever it is that's necessary. Now, you could say it's a law of cause and effect. You could say it's a universal law. You could say it's the thought that does it. Well, what do you think a stem cell is? Well, science think that a stem cell is a little cell that they can manipulate.
It's more than that.
And maybe they can. Or maybe the cell is a cell of thought. Or maybe the thought is what manipulates the cell. When the scientists take that cell, which is called an undifferentiated cell, and they put it in some place, they say, now we're going to put this in the liver, and it's going to completely reprogram the liver, completely revitalize the liver. Well, their thought is going before, you know? And it's their thought that's bringing it about. Who knows how this is? We haven't really studied it too well. You see, we have a new field of study that's coming out, and it's going to upset the entire mathematical field. And it's going to make whoever's in mathematics be outdated. And the new field is called holographic math. Holographic science. Holographic means you see things by three, four, five sides. You see everything, the top, the bottom, the side. And it's already done. It's already on a computer system. My son has it on his computer system, which he designs airplanes with. And he uses it, and he just takes it, turns the pieces around on his computer, and he sees, then he runs a stress test on it, in the computer, a stress test. And he can tell when it needs a thicker metal or a thinner metal. He can tell, so the thinner the metal can be, the lighter the aircraft will be. But they have to have it thick enough to take the stress test at certain areas. And so he gives it thicker metal there. Now, my goodness sake. Years ago, they had to trial and error. Their R&D, research and development, was tremendous. But today, with these, it's still tremendous, but today, with this holographic research and holographic studies and holographic work with mathematics, it is outstanding.
Was that in Fat Hacker?
I'm sorry?
I said, I got exposed to it in 1971.
You got what?
Got exposed to holographic.
You got a spreadsheet on it?
Yes, you know, I was demonstrated to.
Oh, demonstration, yeah.
At Leicester Polytechnic.
Yeah.
In 1971.
It is fantastic.
Yes.
At the Museum of Science and Industry in San Diego, they have the Space Museum. And in the Space Museum, years ago, they used to have the holographic demonstration, and it was a very primitive one. And it was really quite interesting. And you could see all sides at one time, and you could look around it and turn it and so forth. And then, years later, they developed the software, so it cost Mark about $16,000 to buy the software. But he got an old edition for $100. So he doesn't have the latest, but he has what's necessary for him. The latest is even more fantastic that the scientists are using in their laboratories. But the holographic attitude is utterly fantastic. Now, why am I spending a moment mentioning that right now? Because the holographic mathematical system, the holographic personality, allows you to take the body and spin the body around. Doctors are doing that in their hospitals now. They take the EKG and the CAT scans and so forth, and they are able to turn you around without turning you around. They take the picture and then they turn the picture around, and they can see all parts of you, top, bottom, front, and they can slice you up in little pieces on the CAT scan. And that's all holographically done. Now, that is complex, and that is amazing, but it's just a matter of the stem cells at work there. They are thoughts. And they are thoughts that once they are stimulated, they burst. And they burst into a billion more thoughts just like themselves. And making this thing so complex. If you've... We were in at the Space Theater as well as down in Sydney, Australia. And we went into the Big Mac Theater. Big Macs, I think they call it. And in the Big Mac Theater, you sit in these chairs, and they're very comfortable, and the screen goes around you like this here. And then you wear these glasses, you know, it's like the old time, it's 3D, but you wear the glasses. And then you see the scenes that they show you. The steam train comes right straight for you, and it's looking to go run over you. you know, take off the glasses because you're strengthening, you know. And then you see this guy skiing out of an airplane. He jumps out of an airplane with a board on his foot, and then he's skiing through the air. And the photography is right on his toe of his shoe there, you know, right on that board. And it is amazing how these pictures come through, and how it's frightening. It's really frightening. But that is just the skill and the magic of working with these things. The skill and the magic of this holographic photography. And the holographic photography is something that every magazine should report on, and every magazine should know all the details. But of course, when they come in late, then they're going to miss it, don't they, huh? Then they're going to miss it. He's a magazine man. But what is it that we're talking about here? We're talking about holographic photography, holographic mathematics, holographic science. And holographic, how many of you have seen Star Trek? And in shows of Star Trek, they had the holograph. Remember? And you'd go in there and you could have any activity you want. There's a little chip that you stick in. I want to go in the jungles and I want to fight animals. I want to go in the time of the ancient warriors and fight them with spears and stuff like that. And I just want to go where I lived, where I was brought up as a kid. So then all of a sudden there you are where you were brought up as a kid, in your own neighborhood, and your own relatives and friends all around you. It's the most amazing thing what they programmed for that holographic thing. Now, that was basically fiction. But it was fiction based upon mental fact, and today much of that is being projected and being done. It is fantastic. This is what is done with the stem cells when they are in high gear. And they are in high gear in all of us. In all of us, as we work with our programs of understanding ourselves and understanding what we're doing, they all work so beautifully. You've seen it too. You've known it too. And you'll watch when you see Chioma. Next thing you hear from her, she will be in the middle of holographic mathematics. She'll take the course in holographic mathematics that it takes most scientists 5-6 years to complete, and she'll complete it in 2 months, and then she will be a master of it. Now, how can Chioma complete in 2 months what other people take 5 years to do? How can Ugo complete in 4 months what it takes other people 4 years to complete? How can they do that? They have absolute dedication to it, and they have no other interest. But you say Shoma's raising a child, and she has an auntie there who is on her back all the time, and they're always doing things. She doesn't really have much time to do it. Shoma is so one-pointed. When she thinks a thought, it's as though there's nothing else in the universe around her. She is so unique and wonderful in that respect. Her stem cells are just standing there saying, "What do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? With anything you say, you just tell us what do you want." And they're panting, waiting for her to tell. And she has to get busy to think of all the things she wants to tell them. And so here's what she does. She tells her stem cells what to do. And then she goes on into doing other things. She goes on into taking courses in computer and into taking courses in other things, and taking her course at the University of Healing. And she's taking her course in the University of Healing. And every quiz and every test she does is exquisite. Her answers are that of a genius. Totally wonderful. And yet, it does not limit her. She also goes into the field of mathematics, the field of science, the field of teaching, and does these things. Plus, she raises her child reasonably well. If she had spent more time with her kid, the kid would turn out better. He's only turned out to be a genius and an extremely successful, extremely beneficial child. But just think, he could have been 100 times that. But she made her choice. She made her choice. She could not ever be tied down to one little limitation. Now her plans are to go to America and work at Loyola University or some of the universities there and be the top mathematician in their field of mathematics, teaching holographic mathematics and those other things. Now, she doesn't know this yet, but I do. She has told me some of it, but she hasn't told me all of it. But I know, because that's who she is. She is an absolute genius, and the door is open for her to teach what she knows. It's open for you too. It's open for you too to be a genius in any area you want. See, you stepped up in the bank because you were willing to step out. If you'd stayed where you were, you would have had a nice berth and things would have gone fine, but you could have gone no place because there were no doors open up above. But you stepped out of the bank and stepped into a new bank and stepped into a new possibility, and now every door is open for you because you are a genius and you have the possibility to do anything you want to do and you like it, right?
Sure.
Yeah. What's going to happen to her kid? Her kid lives in that house where she lives, where she feels positive things all the time. She feels genius. She feels wonder. She feels total competence in herself. What does she feel in her kid? She feels total competence in him. And is she going to be giving him all the direction that he needs to be fulfilled in every way? Yes. How could she do that and be the head of a bank at the same time? It's tough. But it's not tough doing that and being head of the bank. It's tough doing that and taking away some time from the thing that turns her on to the time to things that have to be done. You all have to make that decision. You all have put causes in motion using your stem cells to accomplish the goals that you want. And then you have to say, what is it that is going to fulfill me in the most beautiful way? Now we look here at Yellow Shirt. Big old yellow shirt here, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel Kalbaba, what kind of a guy is he? He is a mixed up kid. He actually is a wonderful genius. The stem cells are guiding him beautifully. They brought him to Sam, and they brought him to Seville. They brought him to this program here. And he's taking the courses at the university. But you know what he's doing? He's letting other things distract him from his studies and from his genius. He's letting other things take his attention away, like he's building a house. And I mean, that takes a lot of attention. That takes a lot of attention, a lot of time. Now, why does he have to build this house? Because it's cheaper that way. It's cheaper to build it himself than it is to have somebody else do it. Okay. If genius over here really wanted a house, what would he say? Huh? What would he say? Tell me. Tell me. I now have my house. And he wouldn't have to build it. I now have my house. And the house is just a little house, just a little four-bedroom house, you know. And the house that he really wants is an eight-bedroom house. Because he wants room to do his studies, his research. He wants room to do all these things. Now, does he want a house that has perfect floors, perfect windows, perfect doors, perfect ceiling, everything perfect about it? Yes. Is he building it that way? No. He's building it close, but not ideal, because he feels he has a budget. And if he would say to himself, it is done, then no budget would have to be considered. This is the trouble with us. We go the normal routine, the normal pathways, and then we don't do it. Now, what should he be really doing? He has skills within him that he has hidden because he's afraid that if he gets busy on them, they'll take all his time. What is your real skill that you really should be doing? What do you think? Do you want to mention it? Yeah?
My real skill. Yes. We want to mention what you
do. See, it's a secret. They just tell it quietly among themselves over here.
I'd like to be a minister.
I'm sorry?
I'm a minister.
A minister? That's a joke. That's a joke. If he were a minister, you know what he would do? He would be ministering first to himself. You first minister to yourself and you say, I am a minister and I have a perfect home. I have a perfect office. I have a perfect church. I have a perfect whatever, you know. And you would do your coursework complete all the way through. And you would be done with it. And you'd have it behind you. And you'd be perfect in every respect. But the thing is, if you allow things to cause you to be distracted from your goal, you can be sure that your goal is not that important for you. When Sybil set her mind on doing the programs of the University of Healing, she went lickety-split, one right after the other, as perfectly as she could. Everything was done A number one. I think if I looked at her test papers, I'd find them all straight A's. Did you get anything but A's?
Yes.
Oh, you got a few other things there. But basically, she was perfect, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you were perfect. So, you see, she was so dedicated, she was perfect. And then, what happened to her as she kept on going? Everything fell into place. Sam started taking the courses too. But she took these courses and she did everything. She says, I want to be a minister. She said, but I don't want to be a minister on paper where you buy a $5 ministerial certificate from some places around the world that sell them, which is not bad, it's just what you do. I want to be a regular ordained minister from a recognized organization. And so she chose to do that. And she followed through. Now, she could have gone into her sister's church. What church is that?
Anglican.
And she could have been an Anglican minister. Do you think she'd make a good Anglican minister?
Yes.
She would make a good minister of anything because she is good. She is good. Now, if she chose to be an Anglican minister, would any doors have been closed to her?
No.
None. But you see, if she had chose to be an Anglican minister 10, 20 years ago, they wouldn't have accepted her. Because they didn't accept women in the ministry. Yeah. Only in the teaching branch, but not in the pulpit. But now they do. So you see, you have trained yourself, prepared yourself at the right time to step in there. Yes, Manuel?
Yes.
What were you saying? I have what?
No,
you're going to do something?
Times have changed.
But,
anything now.
He is an Anglican?
No. He belongs here. He belongs here.
Oh, you belong here?
Yes.
Whoopee! wonderful. Okay, you belong here.
Yes.
And of course, that's where you are. And you are doing good work. But the thing is, now is the time for you to be that minister. Now, are you ordained?
Yes.
It's a good ordination. Did I do it?
Yes.
Did you look good?
Yes.
Okay. You passed the test. That's good. Okay. Then, right now, as you walk down the street, you don't need to wear your garb. You don't need to wear a ministerial robe, and you don't need to wear the backward collar and all that kind of stuff. Those things are passe, but they're okay. If it turns you on, go ahead. But you don't need it. To be a minister, you have to have something to minister to. Now, what do you want to minister to? Are you a pet minister that ministers as a veterinarian to pets? Are you a people minister that ministers to people? Are you a business minister that ministers to people in business and helps them to have a proper mental attitude about their business? You like that?
Yes.
See, you have to figure out what direction you go. Then, once you do that, what happens? The 10,000 stem cells of your brain... They say, oh, we got a task now. We got a job to do. Oh, wonderful. We're going to do this wonderful thing. And we're going to put that guy on his ear. He's going to be so busy, so happy, so fulfilled. Because he's following his heart. And when you follow your heart, then everything works out for you. And that's exactly what you want to do. And that's exactly where you want to go. Now, all of you may want to be ministers. All of you may choose to be ministers. Or you may follow it. But you could have ministration to different things. You minister to people, you minister as a church, you're a pulpit minister, you're a youth minister, you're all sorts of things, you know, that the possibilities are. And all of them are extremely lucrative type of professions. Very well paying. And why do I say well paying? Because they are. I had a church in northern Minnesota, in Minneapolis, and that was in 1972, 1973, somewhere in there. And my salary was $100,000 a year. $100,000 a year, plus my Mercedes 450 SL, plus my mansion, which is 7 stories high, with a swimming pool and all that sort of good stuff, plus my great big outdoor chapel that seated about 600 people, plus the indoor church, which was really quite a nice church, and it seated maybe about 300 or 400 people, and it's just really wonderful. And I was there for a long time and loved it. Until finally I decided, if I'm doing this and they feel that I'm worth so much, I'm going to go and have my own organization, God Unlimited, University of Healing. And so at that time I made it full time, and it has been operating ever since very successfully. Now, I had to find out who I was. I was editing newspapers, and I was writing newspapers, and I was publishing newspapers and magazines across the United States. I was selling real estate. I was doing all sorts of good stuff, you know, just having a good time, lots of little things too, and very happy and successful doing it and making plenty of money. But I was not happy. I was not fulfilled. I sold $1 million worth of real estate in 1 year, which was supposed to be very, very good back in the 60s, and so I was on the Millionaires Club. But it got to be a bore. It got to be a bore. Because there was no challenge. I knew all the rules and I practiced them, so I wanted to go to something else and something else. But all the time I came back to my ministerial background. And all the time I came back to working in church-type work, university-type work, and doing stuff like that. You see, I tried to run away from it, you might say, by going wherever they're paying me such high salaries and stuff, you know, being impressed in my own smile, you know. And that's stupid. That's stupid, because I wasn't following my heart. And the minute I started following my heart, everything worked out. My white stem cells, my beautiful undifferentiated stem cells pushed me right into it. And I let them push me. And I had fun. And you can have fun too. But it's a matter of following that. Yes. So here we are now. Stem cells invite us to reveal our original purity and integrity. Love is the power of self-healing and self-sponsoring stem cell work in the mind and body. Why is love that wonderful healing type of thing? Why is it? Love is something that is I call it the glue of the universe. It glues all things together. It makes all things work in harmony. All things work in peace together. Love is a wonderful cement. Many people have called it different things of that type over the years, but I feel that it is that very one. But I feel another step needs to be given for that, and that is unconditional love. Unconditional love is a love that really works miracles, because that's the first thing in unconditional love is, what do you do? First thing in unconditional love is,
love is selfless.
What do you do with your enemy?
Love
it. Yeah, what do you do with your enemy?
To love them, because if you don't love yourself,
you agree with your enemy. You agree with your adversary quickly. You agree with your enemy, and there's no enemy to work with. You agree with anybody who doesn't disagree with, who doesn't agree with you, and all of a sudden there's no argument. And the minute you stop arguing with anybody trying to get them to believe the way you believe, the minute you stop fighting people trying to say, you're stupid, you don't know what's going on, the minute you stop that and agree with them, they say, what, you agree with me? Sure. I may not agree exactly the way you're saying it, but I agree with you. I agree with your right to think what you want to think. And of course, that's what I really agree with. But the minute you do, you're in. A salesman is no salesman until the customer says no. Then he has to start selling. As long as the customer says yes, it's no salesmanship. You just are a processor of merchandise. Right. The commitment comes after the customer says no. You have to commit yourself to proving to that customer that he really wants what you have. Now, can you prove to yourself that you really want what you have? Can you prove to yourself you really want to be a minister, or is it just all show? Do you really want to be a minister? Do you really? And it's not a matter of helping other people. Do you have a story to tell? Jesus had a story to tell. Jesus did not have a ministry.
Just I tell them our story here.
You what?
Our story. Yeah, I tell them stories.
No, you're telling them what to do, huh? Good for you.
No, what they do.
No. The stem cells. You're saying, I choose to be a minister, and the doors are all open for me to do it.
Yes.
Right? And I choose to be one of the greatest ministers in the world. I choose to be one of the most effective ministers in the world. Reaching out, doing my thing.
Yes.
My thing. Not the way somebody else wants it done. My thing. And if we all do it our way, then we're happy. Now, is our unity minister doing it his way? Do you think headquarters would approve of all the things he does? He's crazy. He's wonderful. He does it in such a unique, charming way that everyone falls in love with him, don't they? They all think he's just great. What's great about him? He likes himself. That's what's great about him. And because he likes himself, everything comes his way. Because he likes himself, he does what he wants to do. He came here without his shirt turned around backwards, and I didn't recognize him, you know. He came here out of costume, and he wanted me to recognize him as the unity minister. Well, I had never seen him without his collar on, so I didn't recognize him. And when I recognized him, I should have recognized him. I tell him I recognize him. And that wasn't important to him. Why wasn't it important that I recognize him? He recognized himself. He was perfectly happy with who he was himself. And he is a nice guy himself. Oh, he may be as a pain in the neck to work with, as an associate with the program you might set up here, but that's because he's doing his own thing. And that's all he cares about. All he cares about is to do his own thing. And I tell Sybil and Sam, I say, do your own thing. You're going to have the OKs coming through here who want to fireball it through here and make the whole thing change and take over everything. And they'll drop by the wayside as soon as they realize it's work involved. Really. They drop by the wayside as soon as they realize there's work. Because if you really are dedicated, you'll be here helping it during the programs. And I'm one of the programs. And you would think that every minister of this church would be here active while the program is going on. Because this is big news for your organization. This is really a selling card for your organization, getting people to come and hear all about what you believe and what you teach. And if I ever say anything you don't believe and don't teach, then kick me out, you know. Can I stay? But this is what it's all about. When you know who you are, every doorway opens. And while every doorway opens, many doorways close. And you are unhappy about it, but after a while you realize it was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you depend on things that are undependable. And the only thing you want to depend upon is what?
Yourself.
Myself, yourself. The only thing you want to depend upon is yourself. Because you're the only one who's dependable. And if you don't do it right, then you're the one who's not doing it right for yourself. But can you ever do it wrong for yourself?
No.
I don't have to remember somebody else's teachings when I tell my philosophy and my stories. I just say what I believe. And I don't have to remember what anybody else said. Sometimes I try to remember a name or so, but they're not important. They're not important. What's important is the philosophy I believe, and I live, and I share. And if it is beneficial to you guys, wow, great, have at it. If not, have at it. Do whatever you want. Throw it out. I go up to Switzerland, and my students, who have been with me well over 30 years, are still with me. The dedicated students who really love me and really care about the philosophy, and we do good things together. But they're doing their own thing. And their own thing is in the philosophy, but with their own name on it. And good for them. Like Stephanie started his own school up there. And he's got lots of people attending it. And he teaches this school at the local department store where they hire him to come in and teach. And he's doing a great job and having a lot of fun. And he finds it the most charming thing in the world. And Stephan is a single man. And he just loves the beautiful ladies that he works with. He thinks they are just cool, you know. And he's a cool guy. But whenever I come up there, he takes time to do translations for me, speak in Italian, speak in German, speak in Switzerland, and does a great job, and the people just love him, and I just love him. And if he's not available, one of my other students is there. But you see, my stem cells take care of all the details, and I don't have to do any front work. You know, Billy Graham, you may have heard of him. He's a great evangelist from America. And I don't know what religion he is. I think he's probably a fundamentalist of some sort. And he's a most remarkable guy. He's in his 90s now. And he goes around the world. And when he goes around the world, he has 5,000 or more people at every function that he has. He has front people out there putting ads in the newspaper and putting ads in this, getting on television and and doing all these good things to promote Billy Graham. And he puts on a good show. And when he goes home, it's all paid for, and the show turned out to be quite beautiful, and he's quite good. But in Billy Graham, with his evangelism and his saying that Jesus heals and that Jesus does everything and that you should turn yourself over to Jesus and be saved by Jesus and so forth, which is all very fine and dandy, how many people remember what his message was? Nobody. Virtually nobody remembers what his message is. They don't remember that he talked about stem cells or what he talked about. They don't remember it because he is reiterating the same story over and over again. He's like the Hebrew teachings, reiterating the same story over and over again. It's the old Hebrew teachings. And people don't listen anymore. They don't listen. As they hear these things, they sit back and they do their knitting, you know. And they don't pay any attention to what's going on. And this happens in many of the churches here today, where the ministers are teaching the same preaching stuff that they taught 2,000 years ago. There's no newness in it. There's no up-to-dateness in it. And they haven't found a new way of approaching God, a new way of approaching their divinity. And they can. They can. All they have to do is read in the Wikipedia and encyclopedia on the network, and they can read about religion. They can read about what's being done in science, what other churches are thinking and doing, and how the modernization of these things has happened. It's fantastic. This is available to you. You are not to be stifled by the tradition of the past. The tradition of the past is beautiful, but it is past. Now you're living today. And I think many of you are trying to emulate Jesus by wearing a robe. But if you want to wear a robe like Jesus wore, I say, cool. What kind of robe did he have?
Seamless.
He had a seamless robe that was absolutely perfect. If you had the privilege, and you did if you wanted to, but you didn't. You didn't do it. If you had the privilege of stepping inside of Jesus' robe, what would you find? It was completely air-conditioned and heated. It is for the astronauts. Why not Jesus? I mean, was Jesus some sort of slowpoke? Jesus had everything. He did. And he had all the food he wanted. He had all the things he wanted and needed and used. He was not without anything. He was not a poor man. He's fantastic. But this is the type of teaching we should look into. How did Jesus do that? How did he accomplish these things? And we learn because it's known. And when we learn, we'll be surprised. And today, science is finally getting over the Christian heritage and the heritage of other religions, which keep it from growing and expanding. And they're finding out things that are utterly amazing. They're going back into the pyramids and they're finding things that are fantastic. And like you with your Da Vinci Code things, that sort of stuff is nonsense. That has nothing to do with his philosophy. We want to know about his philosophy. What did he teach? What did he teach that we can apply in our life? That he had Mary Magdalene makes no difference at all. You know, big deal. That he was hung on the cross, no difference at all. It had nothing to do with his philosophy. Remember the story of Socrates? Socrates was quite a guy. He was a great teacher. A great, great teacher. And I respect and read him and enjoyed him. Now, Socrates taught the young princelings of Rome. And what did he teach them? He taught them to think for themselves. The Roman government did not teach the people to think for themselves. The legislators would think for them. So Socrates taught them to think for themselves. If something came up, they should think, what would they do? How would they handle it? What would be their opinion? Not what the court wants to say, but what would be their opinion? Well, they thought, and they thought, and they came up with different stories. And the stories they came up with were very interesting. And I told you about them in the past, but for the moment, we'll just slide over it. They talked about the stories, and so they went to their father and they said, Dad, I don't think we should do that. That's not right. Where'd you get such an idea like that? That's a heretical idea. And so they said, from Socrates. Socrates told us that. Well, Socrates didn't tell them that. Socrates says, have your own thought. Come to your own conclusion. And so they told him, their fathers, they didn't want to make trouble for Socrates, but they did. They said, Socrates told us that that's an opinion that we should have. Not that we should think for ourselves, but that we should have a particular opinion. And so they came and got Socrates and they asked him, did you say that? And he was not about to put the boys down. So he said, I told them to think for themselves. And that was bad enough. And so they condemned him to death. But again, he had two choices. He had the choice of leaving the country, which is easy for him to do, or die. So he says, I've taught well, I've lived well, and I'm done. If you want to do this, go ahead. Socrates knew that he would become a martyr. And in becoming a martyr, the world would know about him forever and ever. And the world would hear his true story forever. If he died just an ordinary man at an ordinary old age, no one would have remembered him at all. Remember, Plato wrote about Socrates and told the story of Socrates. Socrates didn't write for himself. And Plato's story was what sold the world on Socrates. And Plato was a good writer and a good philosopher, but Plato didn't have the pizzazz. He didn't have the imagination that Socrates had. He was just a technical person. A technocrat, you've heard of those. And that's fun. That's fun. We need technocrats too. Because they tell the story that the doers do. Now, what are we doing?
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah.
We're about on time, huh?
Okay.
I like to have it somewhere on time. So at 4:30, the private talk. So we can go a little bit. So now, Emmanuel, if you want to be a minister and you want to follow your heart, follow it. And don't think you're going to do other things first. The minute you go around trying to do other things first, you're not going to do anything. Follow your heart first. I don't say what you should follow. That you got to know for yourself. Follow your heart. And if your heart says build a house first, well then go ahead. But follow your heart and remember that your real ideals should come first. Because today you have a certain enthusiasm. And tomorrow, it's going to be a matured enthusiasm. And the enthusiasm of youth and vitality that you have today is going to do things a little differently than the enthusiasm tomorrow of a matured individual. And how do you want to act? Why did Sam and Sibyl find such great success in developing their ministry here? Because they're a couple of kids. They're not old, and they're not gray, and they're not ancient, and they're not traditional. Of all things, they are untraditional. But of all things they are spiritual. They are illumined masters at work. And you are too. But just because you're an illumined master doesn't mean that you make the right decision all the time. Because sometimes you can let your hormones pull you apart from a decision. Sometimes you can let your paycheck of $100,000 a year pull you away from what you really want to do. I used to take my mother in one of my planes and we'd fly to the different churches that didn't have a minister when I was working at the United Church of Religious Science. And we'd go there every Sunday and preach. We'd fly up in the mountains, we'd fly to the desert, we'd fly to the valleys, we'd fly to everywhere, wherever it was. And we, even if it was next door, we'd fly. I loved to fly. And Mother would come in there with me, and she'd sit in the back of the church. And then as the people left the church, she'd be saying, "That's my son. That's my son. That's my son." Now, just like the Jewish mama, you know, "My son, the doctor." But she was very proud. She was very proud. And I did everything I could, not to make her proud, but to do what I wanted to do with all my heart. And the audience just rolled in the aisles. They just thoroughly enjoyed every talk I gave because I was going through some fascinating experiences and telling them all about it. And they loved it. But you see, I followed my heart. I listened to my stem cells. I did as they bid. And every door opened. Oh, whenever problems come along, and they'll come along, are you going to remain your perfect self with the problem? Or are you going to fall under it and let it push you down? Never. Just remain your perfect self. Be your ideal, wonderful self. Play your game according to who you are. And never let yourself be touched by anything that goes on around you. Because if you do, then you're not yourself. And you with your partner, yeah. Don't let your partner decide what your goals are for yourself. You choose the unauthorized, untraditional ideas to express yourself, and you'll find that your publications or whatever you're working with are going to just blossom fantastically. But your partner is a little more traditional. You think he's not as traditional because he does beautiful artwork and stuff like that, but he's really quite traditional. And you want to be the untraditional one. One of you wants to, certainly. And as you're untraditional, it's not that you get the correct story out on people, but you get the story out on people that is their magic. Not that the story helps to build Nigeria into a better nation, but you tell the story about these people that you're writing about that tells their real life story, that what turned them on, what gave them fire and magic in their life, and how everyone can have that same fire and magic by listening within. And at the same time, great things happen in the broader picture. But follow your heart. Follow your dreams on these things, because as you do, you'll let those white stem cells go to work for you and bring about the goal that you have. And if you go telling your partner all about your training here now, he'll dilute it because he wasn't here. He will not. It's not that he's not with you, but it's just that he goes to a lot of things that you're not going to, and he's had a lot of experiences you don't have, and he has an enthusiasm in areas you don't have because you weren't there, Charlie, you see. And so this is why it's so important. Take your dream. Live your dream. Build your dream. It's your wildest dream, and keep it in you as your personal secret. And then when you're ready, let it out. And it'll be like a giant firecracker. Boom! And all the world will say, "Oh my goodness, there's Ethelbert. What has he done again? He's done something else wonderful again. My goodness sakes." And that's true for all of us. All of us are magical people. All of us are geniuses. So, we will take up these last two points tomorrow in our last lecture. You notice they're the same?
Yes.
I hadn't changed it, and I thought I was changing it. So, we'll be taking up them tomorrow. But tomorrow, we're going to talk about something quite interesting, I believe.
Ways we can apply these issues in our daily life.
What's that? Ways we can apply these things. You like that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also in 18. So, okay. One thing we're going to talk about tomorrow is cells from menstruation and how that is an indication of cells all over the body, stem cells all over the body that are available and that are used. They can take a stem cell and they can lay it on a wound that's a cut, and that cut instantly seals. It's fantastic. Okay, did you have any questions?
No.
before we adjourn?
I wanted to ask that question.
Peter has a question for us.
No. I wanted to ask that question before. You said we are going to teach tomorrow.
His question comes up tomorrow.
Oh, good. Okay. And anything else that we want to talk about today? Anybody? Okay. Very good. Well, again, it's a joy to share with you, and nice to be around you. Nice to be into that. And Michael, just what are all those papers you're shuffling? Are they have anything to do with your stem cells?
Yes.
Great. I admire you. And don't say any more. You're liable to put your foot in your mouth. But if they have something to do with your stem cells, great. That's all that matters. Okay. I love you. I love you. I love you.